Good morning. My name's Taylor, and I'm so glad for the opportunity to open God's Word together. Today, we're continuing our series in Practicing the Way, where we're exploring some of the essential spiritual practices that lead to a full life in Jesus. Our practice for today is Scripture. I have to say, I'm pretty excited to preach today's message because I love Scripture. I'm an unapologetic Bible nerd. I'm sure that's a really surprising thing to hear a pastor of all people say. You know, I really fell in love with the Bible when I was in college. While I had grown up in the church, Bible reading had often felt like a chore. But when I got to college at the Christian university I attended, my faith, it was starting to finally become my own after a season of drifting and rebelling. And there was something about the professors in the biblical studies department that was different. Something about them that was hard to put my finger on, but they all had this gentle yet incisive wisdom about them. There was something hard to define that emanated from them. I really wanted to be with them. The way they loved the Bible was so captivating. It made me want to learn more. The way they talked about Jesus, it was almost as if they knew him personally. I wouldn't have been surprised if they said, yeah, Jesus and I got coffee together last week. That guy loves lattes. Instead of reading Scripture like a collection of, I don't know, old dusty books, it felt as if they were talking about a vibrant living garden that they walked through, that they knew its paths. So it should probably come as no surprise that my faith blossomed and grew significantly in that season. Reading my Bible every day became something that I genuinely looked forward to. I really put my Bible through its paces. I still have it. It's barely holding on. I spent every elective on biblical studies courses, enough for a second major. I was already heading to seminary for more advanced courses. I was hungry by that point. I had learned biblical Hebrew over those years, and I was eager to move on to seminary to learn biblical Greek to really get into the text. And in seminary, I devoured biblical courses like Kirby chowing down. I even audited extra courses. I couldn't get enough. And then I became a pastor, and something changed. And once again, reading Scripture started to feel like a chore. Instead of being something I got to do, it became something I had to do or should do. It's a little bit like someone who loves to cook and then becomes a professional chef. Cooking transitions from something you do when you want to something you have to do. You know, now people are depending on you to feed them, and your relationship with cooking changes. Now, don't get me wrong, I didn't stop reading Scripture. I was preparing sermons and Bible studies every week, but I did stop reading Scripture on my own, nearly cold turkey. It became work. And the last thing I wanted to do in my time off was to prepare another meal. It's probably no surprise, but my faith life started to dull and become less vibrant. Somehow, after all those years of passion and study, I ended up right back where I started. And Bible reading started to feel like a chore yet again. So I'm curious if reading the Bible has ever felt that way to you, like a chore. You've probably heard sermons like this one before, where you've heard all about why you should read the Bible more, and you've tried, and it just didn't stick. So now, maybe, I imagine, you just feel guilty, and instead of being a joyful endeavor, it feels like just one more thing you aren't doing as much as you should, like, I don't know, eating enough veggies, flossing twice a day, or getting enough sleep or exercise. Or maybe you do really want to read the Bible, but it's so hard to understand. Where do you even start? I mean, it's not exactly a short book. And if you didn't grow up in the church, it can be intimidating because it can often feel like everyone else just knows everything. Like, what's the difference between a Pharisee and a Sadducee? What exactly is a cherubim and a seraphim? And are we really supposed to find Leviticus interesting? While we're at it, what exactly is a cubit? And does it have any relation to a whatchamacallit? Sometimes it can feel like if we don't know by now, then it's too late to ask. like that person you've met several times, but you can't remember their name, and it's way too embarrassing to ask now. So instead of biting the bullet, we just stick with the uncomfortable status quo. Hey, buddy, how's it going, pal? If reading scripture does feel like a chore to you, or you feel mildly embarrassed by how much, or maybe more accurately, how little, you actually read scripture, you're not alone. It may feel like everyone else reads more than you, but the statistics around this tell a very different story. You know, Pew Research found that 64% of all U.S. adults self-identify as Christians, and the American Bible Society, which does this major study every year on Bible reading in America, they found that this year that only 41% of adults in America are what they call Bible users, which they define as those who read the Bible on their own, not counting a church service, at least 3 times a year. Now, I have to say the term Bible user is a little strange, and if the qualification for that is only reading a passage of the Bible 3 times a year, that's a pretty low bar. You know, in Joshua, we're instructed to read the scriptures day and night. So how many of us do that? How many of us read the Bible daily, or at least near daily? That figure, 9% of all Christian adults in America, which adds up to less than 6% of all adults in America total. So let's take the inverse of that. 94% of adults in America do not read the Bible daily. So if you struggle to read scripture on your own daily, well, I've got good news and bad news. The good news, you're not alone. Bad news, you're not alone. If you've been participating in the Practicing the Way course, you might recall in the first session that John Mark Comer shared that in Jesus's time, it was common practice for young Jews to study scripture so deeply that they had all of the Old Testament memorized. Whoa. Now, on one hand, that clearly stems from a deep love of God and a desire to be faithful. The other reason is it's actually entirely practical. You know, biblical scrolls were wildly expensive and time-consuming to produce, and so memorization was the only viable option to be able to carry scripture with you into your daily life. You know, this is 1,500 years before the invention of the printing press, and it would take another 500 after that for, you know, the internet to come around. So it's not like you could bring your Bible with you in that day and age. You know, today we have access to the entire Bible with hundreds of translations in our pockets, available with just a few quick taps. You know, not to mention, and if we want to understand more about scripture, there are countless free resources available. There's the Bible Project, The Chosen. Heck, you can even read the Bible in Lego form if you want. Yet, despite it being so readily available and easily accessible, most of us don't read scripture with any real frequency. You know, when scripture was harder to come by, people read it more. Now that it couldn't be easier, we hardly use it. What gives? Part of me wonders if it's like tourist attractions in our own city. We're so close and they're so easy to access that we take them for granted. I mean, sure, 20 million people visit Boston every year to walk the Freedom Trail or catch a game at Fenway or visit the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. But for those of us who live here, how often do we take advantage of all that this area has to offer? I know for me, it usually takes friends or family visiting from out of town to motivate me to get up off the couch. There's something about knowing it's always available that makes me use it less, not more. You know, another obstacle is part of what I mentioned earlier is that reading scripture can be challenging. And I don't just mean the challenge of carving out time every day, though that is a challenge. But the text itself can feel like an impenetrable fog at times. There are parts of the scripture that are just genuinely difficult to comprehend or hard to stomach. It can feel like we're reading a foreign language because, in many ways, we are. You know, the Bible wasn't originally written in English, and much of it was written well over 2 millennia ago in cultures very different from our own. You know, as it turns out, this challenge actually isn't new. Even in Jesus' day, many of the scriptures felt far away from the people reading them. You know, by the time that Jesus was born, the vast majority of Jewish people no longer spoke Hebrew. Their primary languages were either Aramaic or Greek. You know, when Paul writes in Philippians that he's a Hebrew of Hebrews, he's most likely not talking about his ethnic heritage. He's talking about his linguistic skills and education. Yeah, he's Jewish, he's a Hebrew, but that's a given. He's saying that he's one of the very few people left at that point who could read and speak Hebrew, who could understand the Old Testament in its original language. You know, the only people who could do that were the Pharisees and the scribes. The Bible that 99.99% of the Jewish folks read at that time was a Greek translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint. That's the text that most of the New Testament authors knew as well. You know, fun fact, if you ever see in the Old Testament or the Old Testament quoted in the New Testament, but when you go back to find it, the wording's a little bit different, it's because the New Testament authors are using that Greek wording. Yet, despite the Pharisees memorizing the entirety of Scripture, when Jesus was standing right in front of them, they couldn't recognize him for who he truly was. You know, Jesus says to them in Matthew, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean." The Pharisees' blindness boggles my mind. And yet also, if I'm honest, I've got to admit that I too am fully capable of this. There's something that happens when you study Scripture for a living where you can let yourself believe that you have mastery over the text and can forget that the text always has mastery over us, over me. You know, we can become technical experts in the Scriptures, but if we lack humility and curiosity, then it doesn't matter if we've memorized it cover to cover. We can still manage to miss the whole point. You know, the words only have power if we let them seep into us and breathe life into our faith. As Jesus taught us in the scripture we read this morning, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on." If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a foolish carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. It's entirely possible to know the words of Scripture and to miss the point of Scripture. The point of Scripture is Jesus. Jesus is the foundational truth to build our lives on. You know, as the folks at the Bible Project like to put it, the Bible is a unified story that leads to Jesus. Honestly, I couldn't say it better myself. The arc of Scripture is long, and it points towards Jesus. Scripture has a purpose. It has a goal, or what theologians like to call a telos, a destination and an aim. The entire purpose of Scripture is to lead us towards encountering the person of Jesus so that we might know our Savior and center our lives around him. You know, the Apostle Paul writes in the Gospel of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, generations of saints have found a vibrant new spiritual life in these words, these transformational truths, because in the text we encounter Jesus himself, the Son of God who loves us, died for us, and sets us free. So my hope for all of us is not that we leave this morning feeling guilty about not having read the Bible enough. And I never want anyone to ever leave a worship service feeling ashamed or beating themselves up. You know, guilt can be a helpful indicator, but it's a terrible motivator. So if you're feeling like you should read more scripture, well, then let me encourage you not to should on yourself. When we feel shame, we tend to hide. And the last thing Jesus wants us to do is to hide. Jesus wants us to live in the full light of day. So, well, I imagine that there are many people watching, listening today, who likely see themselves reflected in the statistics I referenced earlier of the 94% of American adults who don't read scripture daily. But if that's you, then I hope you consider today a loving invitation to turn over a new leaf, a new opportunity. You know, it's true that the best time to plant a tree was 30 years ago, but the second best time is today. So I want you to remember that the God revealed in Jesus, who's inviting you to know him more intimately through the scriptures, that's the same God who sent his only begotten son to die for you. The God who loves you so radically and completely that he gave his life for you. That is the God who we're talking about today, not some cold, distant, disappointed deity. So my hope is that we all develop a deep desire to read scripture because we find it life-giving, and that when we do read scripture, we search for and we encounter Jesus. You know, when I first started out pastoring, there were a few things that were contributing to my drop in personal passion for scripture. The most obvious was that it was now my job, and whether I was feeling it or not, I still had to do it. And when I did read the scripture on my own, I couldn't help my mind from wandering to how I might use that text or passage in a sermon. I couldn't for the life of me turn my analytical brain off and simply listen to what Jesus wanted to teach me in that moment. Eventually, though, I did find a practice that really helped. I switched Bibles. Instead of using my academic Bible, I picked up the Bible that my parents had given me when I had graduated high school. It's a different translation, and so that helped switch my brain into a different mode. But lately, after about 10 years of that working really well, something's gone stale again. I couldn't for the life of me tell you why, but it has. The last year, I found myself in that unwelcome yet familiar place of feeling like reading scripture is a chore again. And so I'd go a week or two in a row, skipping my devotional time in the mornings. I don't know why, but for some reason, that old trick of using my personal Bible, it just wasn't working anymore. So eventually, I tried something new about 2 months ago. I tried a third Bible. It's the Message, which we read from this morning. It's not exactly a translation. It's a paraphrase. Something about that is different enough that each morning I'm excited to read familiar passages that I've read hundreds of times, but to see how differently they're translated. That plain spoken modern language has helped me so much. Sometimes it's almost as if I'm reading the passage for the very first time, like a little kid tasting fresh fruit for the first time in their life. Which truly is the beauty of Scripture. You know, Scripture's like a river in that we can never stand in the same river twice. You know, for me, it took some effort to change up my routines to experience that reality. And I'm sharing this with you because for many of us, sometimes the things that bear spiritual fruit in our lives only last for a season, and then we've got to find a new way to connect with God. That doesn't mean that God's gone distant. It simply means that we need to adapt and continue maturing our relationship as we grow and change. You know, the second thing I did recently was inspired by the Practicing the Way course, which is I leave my phone in another room when I read, which helps me to go slow and not get distracted by screens. As helpful as it is to have access to the Bible on our phones, it's so easy to have our attention pulled in different directions with text, social media, or emails, or whatever. There's something to be said for good old-fashioned paper books, especially when it comes to Scripture. And the last thing that has made a world of difference for me in keeping the habit up is that I've come to learn about myself is that mornings are my best and most productive time of the day. So I do everything in my power not to schedule meetings first thing in the mornings. Mornings are when I do my most productive work. So that's when I've chosen to read my Bible. You know, it's sort of in the same spirit of offering the first fruit of our harvest to God as a tithe. I want to give Jesus my best time. These practices make such a difference in my life. I'm not saying that all my problems have magically vanished, but it does fundamentally and routinely help me meet the problems that I face on any given day with a profoundly different perspective. When we're in the habit of reading and praying through the Scriptures on a daily basis, it helps us to develop eyes to see the Spirit moving in our midst in ways that we'd otherwise miss, which helps me to grow in gratitude and in joy. It reminds me to look to see how God is at work and where Jesus is inviting me to lean in. And honestly, it's so helpful for me personally in helping me to identify when something that's just driving me nuts isn't mine to hold, but it's God's to carry. It brings so much peace. You know, if I could run like an A-B test on the same day, one without Scripture reading and prayer and one with, I'd bet all the money in my bank account that I'd pick the one with Scripture over the one without all day, every day. And I'm willing to bet that the same is true for you too. You know, if you want to get to know Jesus more deeply through the daily practice of reading Scripture, either for the first time or because the last attempt didn't quite stick, then allow me to offer a framework that I've found incredibly helpful. First is to do what I did, to identify for yourself what the best time of your day is, and then make that your devotional time. For you, it could be mornings like me, or it could be a totally different time. It could be lunch or the evening or whenever. Only you can answer that question. And the second is to make one-inch corrections. Whenever we're trying to establish a new habit, we have a significantly higher chance of that habit sticking if we start small. You know, it's easy to get motivated and inspired at the beginning and just swing for the fences. But the practice of one-inch corrections has a massively higher chance of sticking over the long term. So what's a one-inch correction? Well, we start small, and I mean really small. Start by reading one verse a day for 1 week. The first step should be so small that you almost certainly can't not succeed. The bar should be so low, you're worried you're going to trip over it. Then after a week, reevaluate. Did you succeed every day? Great. Add a second verse for week two. If not, just give yourself some grace and stick with one verse a day for another week. You know, evaluate regularly and add more only when you've consistently met your goal. The point is to build success on top of success. And at some point, you stop adding and you stop measuring, because eventually the habit will take on a force and a life of its own, which is the goal. It will reshape your desires, which is the thing that we all need to make habits last. You know, when I reflect on my own relationship with Jesus and the Scriptures, I think back to the things that first drew me to those biblical studies professor when I was a young college student. I think about the love and the wisdom that emanated, that radiated from them. I find myself reminding myself that that's who I want to become. And then I again remind myself that there are no shortcuts. The way they were formed was through a long obedience in the same direction. You know, little by little, inch by inch, steadily and faithfully over time, they searched the Scriptures for Jesus, and they found him, and he shaped them into who he has been calling them to be. You know, just like a river flowing over land, it doesn't develop depth overnight. It takes time for a steady, continuous flowing stream to reform and reshape the terrain. So friends, my deepest hope for you is that you fall further and further in love with Jesus, and that you know that you can and you will find him in the scriptures. You know, the Bible's a living book which testifies to the living word, which is Jesus. Jesus speaks and moves in our lives through the practice of regularly reading the scriptures. So my prayer and my hope is that through the reading of the text, your faith life is invigorated, enlivened, and flourishes as you meet the living God of grace and truth. Amen.